of knowing.
All right, man. Welcome to Pro 777 Radio. This is episode 597. It is hour one of 597. Jason Lindgren is with me, and we have a returning guest, Agent F. It's a privilege to know this man because he stood up for his rights. He started from zero. He took responsibility. He learned what he needed to learn, and he implemented it, and he's come out on top more than once. But maybe what's more, he protected his family and his newborn children. And that is a big damn deal in the current world that we exist in. What we're about to talk about is going to cross into law a little bit. So I want to make a point. People come here and they listen to law episodes, and the people who are teaching us about law never get along with each other because, well, it doesn't matter why, because for whatever reason. But if we covered it, it's because we know it can be replicated and that it works. What we're going to cover here and the legal standpoint we're going to cover here was derived somewhat from Dr. Graves, who offers a course. Now, if you choose to do that, that is the typical mainstream, I am an American citizen, I play within the lines life. Some of the other things we have covered are almost the polar opposite of that, where you're collapsing trusts, trying to take back control of your legal, sometimes called straw man name. This is not that. So I want to be perfectly clear. Now, Dr. Graves, apparently, and we'll learn more as we get along here, taught Agent F, by the way, the names have been changed to protect the innocent, what he needed to know to stand on his own 2 feet. Because when you walk in and face a monster corporation and hand them a notice of liability or an affidavit, they look at you like you've been smoking peyote for 20 years and you don't know your butt from a hole in the ground. So if you don't know what you're doing, it can go south really quick. Jason, do you feel like I dropped anything in that intro?
Well, anything with law, be really, really careful what you're doing and think it through and make sure you understand the process that you're going to be involved with, because it's no joke.
Well, the other thing I would point out is if you're going to stand up for your rights, and by the way, in this climate, in this world, if you don't stand up for your rights, you don't have any. That's just a fact. And it's getting worse all the time. And even to the point where when you stand up for your rights, the initial response is you don't have any rights. So let's get one thing straight here. If you do legal things, you're not the first person to do it. And what that means is other people have done it. What that means is there's a way things get done within legal frameworks. What that means is it could be replicated by someone else. So I think we've just kind of made it clear. But anyhow, welcome back, Agent F. I'm proud to know you. You stood up and you walked the walk.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back.
So do you feel like we should do a little primer to catch folks up here? Just let me take a stab at it. So Agent F was working in an environment where he was being required or told he had to take shots, he had to wear masks, he had to do things. You would lose your job or be suspended if you didn't take shots and wear masks. And basically, he stood up for his rights. And of three legal issues that he brought forward, two of them have ended successfully. If I'm not mistaken, the third one is still underway. Is there anything you think you need to say, Agent F, to preface the conversation we're about to have?
Just that I had a previous episode and people could see where I was at. I forget the number. Rose had it, but that kind of gives the backstory.
Yeah, Rose, can you shoot me the number and I'll give it? It's 375.5. So the original Agent F episode is 375.5. So where would you like to start here?
I think that every year, because I work in a healthcare setting, the flu shot is non-negotiable. They don't, where I'm at, a big hospital, over 2,000 employees, they send out a memo that says, basically, unless you've had a life-threatening disease or you've got Guillain-Barré, which is a horrific neurological condition, from the flu shot, then you can't be exempt. So that's what I was told when I was hired. And so for a few years, like most people in the medical profession in the United States, they would know the pressure of the flu shot. And they didn't even put in there, your option was a religious exemption. It was you get this or you face corrective action, period.
I got to ask, is it still that way now after everything you've done?
Now, when they send out, they now include what should always be in there, that there's a religious exemption form. But because they're pressured through my research by Medicare and Medicaid and insurance, that if over 90% of the employees are not vaccinated against the flu, they will restrict money from the hospital. So the hospital has to coerce all of us employees to get the flu shot. And so once I declined it and then COVID happened and everyone started to get a little more wary of shots, they've now made it to where to punish people who don't get the flu shot, you have to wear a mask for their whole season, which is typically November to June. You have to wear a surgical mask anytime you're in the clinical areas.
You will obey or you will be punished.
Yes.
So right now, that's how it stands. No inoculation. You're going to breathe your own exhaust fumes for half a year.
Yes. And that's what I'm currently battling and have been since last year.
So how do you deal with the mask requirement while you're doing this battle?
Right. So while I'm doing it, I document that all the adverse effects where patients will come in because I work one-on-one and say, this guy's got a mask. I'm scared to, do you have some sort of disease? Why are you wearing a mask? Potentially, they don't even want to work with me. Coworkers will obviously kind of snicker. There's a reason that they have it as that setting. My philosophy, because I'm a father of three and providing for my family and enjoy and was trained to do this job after the research was, okay, I'll put this on. I send emails to the head people at the hospital, the CEO, HR, the chief medical officer, and let them know that this is violating my religious conscience. It's having adverse effects on me, but I continue to do it while I'm going through the legal process. So they continue to pay me to sue them.
What do you mean by that? Oh, because you're employed.
What they want to do with this strategy is beat you down so you quit. Because I've had my previous supervisor tell me when I was doing the flu battle, just for the flu shot, that he had fired a nurse already. So they psychologically beat you down. So either you think that you should be fired or you just quit because, I mean, you're wearing a mask 8 hours a day.
You know, I will never quit being stunned at how quickly the people we know and associate with can be turned into a brown shirt. It just blows my mind. And it's almost like, well, if I've got to do it, you've got to do it kind of mentality.
That's what they use.
Yeah, I want to make a point here. So Agent F, part of the paperwork he used, he derived it from episode 373.5. Rose is available to help anyone that needs the paperwork or a finger pointed in a certain direction to move forward. Now, I am an hour one, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I've been informed by people who know that monkeypox is right around the corner. I've been told that they're going to show horrendous pictures of people with little pustules exploding on their face and all kinds of stuff. Whether or not this happens, this is what I have been told. Now, first of all, if there was a disease in the world, how could I possibly predict it? I would start by saying. But secondarily, the information source told me what was going to happen in 2020, more than a year before it happened. I didn't believe them. Well, I kind of believed them. I believed them, but I thought it'll never happen. But to pull back around, so currently, you have had two lawsuits that you have won. Can you describe that?
Yes. Yeah, so the first one, and it'll give a backstory just to, I started out from zero, like you said in the introduction, of total panic, where I had listened to some of the legal ideas, but no one like Dr. Graves has given, at least I didn't have the information readily available, a simplified version of our court system. So what was easier to latch on to was, I'll grab this templated notice of liability and an affidavit and let this corporation like put all my hope and trust into that paperwork, which ended up doing things for me in a positive way, but it wasn't necessarily because of that paperwork. It was more because of the legal. Once I understood the legal framework I was in through Dr. Graves' course, I understood that they were just more concerned in trying to figure out what I knew, essentially. But I would caution people, if you're putting all your trust into an affidavit or a notice of liability, that you really understand and can speak to how it's going to unfold in the end.
Tell me what the topic of the two legal issues that you pursued and won. What are the two issues at hand here?
The first topic was the flu shot, and I wanted to make that for the COVID shot. So that was right before COVID became mandatory. So I put in a religious exemption or an affidavit to not get the flu shot. They denied all this. They said, we don't even have this as a paperwork thing. This doesn't exist. It's impossible to have it. You can't have that religious belief. So I did that. They denied it. I then went through, the easiest way for me was to use the state and federal equal opportunity commissions against them. So they are the ones that enforce religious discrimination. And so since the hospital wasn't allowing me to be exempt from that, the Equal Opportunity Commission then took my complaint that I had submitted to them. And they're the ones that served the hospital and put the pressure on them for the flu shot. So the hospital had to reverse their decision and make me exempt.
So let's nail this down with a spike. You used a state service, I believe we're talking about, to foot the bill and push the paper against the hospital for a legal resolution. Is that correct?
Correct. So it's an administrative court. It's you have your federal and state equal opportunity commissions, which is where like all the workplace stuff would fall under, or going into a grocery, anything in public, if you're being discriminated against. Those are the agencies that say, if I just jumped to court and just said, I'm going to go to my district court and file a lawsuit, they would say, well, did you go through these commissions first? Did they give you a letter of your right to sue? So some people could get in trouble just for not following the right processes that way.
All right. We're talking about the EEOC, or Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Now, when you, I guess I'll call it a complaint. Correct me if that's not right. When you filed the complaint. Okay. So when you filed the complaint with them, how were you received by them?
They're a third party. They don't really, they're not a tool that I don't know how many of the people were for the agenda to not get vaccinated. We're using. So typically it might be more like if it's racial discrimination or like a gender, but because religious is a big part of that, they take it as they're just a third party. You tell them what's going on. If you have enough merit, they would say, okay, we're going to actually make a complaint and serve the hospital and run through an administrative court process.
All right. So basically I'm going to try to sum this. You had submitted, they told you you're getting a shot. You said, no, I'm not. It violates my religious convictions. You gave them an affidavit and a notice of liability. I'm assuming the notice of liability had penalties, but I'll let you describe that. You then went to the EEOC, filed the complaint. And that is that the bulk of the shot that you fired back at them?
Yes, that's the bulk.
Okay. So explain what happened. What did they do? And how did it come to the outcome?
So they tried to, the notice of liability was more, I think in a hospital, everyone is heightened to liability. Like, we're not liable if a surgery goes wrong or we did this thing. So them getting a big page of notice of liability, and I'm also going to, I threw in a 1985 lawsuit, and each person on this vaccine review committee could be held liable. So I think they all saw that and were just kind of shocked because they knew that term.
Did you include penalties on the NOL?
The penalty would be, just that I would pursue that legal lawsuit, the lawsuit okay. there. And okay. I had put in there another offer of acceptance that if they could guarantee I wouldn't receive any harm and wouldn't get sick and that it's perfectly effective, then I wouldn't get the flu shot. But I also still retain the right to decline it, even if they said they would accept that, which of course they're not going to.
So you file the affidavit and the NOC, and so they're a corporation, of course, that has to go on file and do whatever it does. What does the EEOC do for you? Do you know what they did?
Yeah, they just run through like a simulated court process. So for any lawsuit, you have to have an injury. So they broke their duty to honor my religious accommodation if it's reasonable. And so the NEOC, which is my state one, and the EEOC, which is the federal, come in and say, okay, here's his complaint. The hospital has to answer it. So they give an answer to the commission. And then the commission goes through like a discovery phase, like you would in a lawsuit. And then once they've gathered evidence, which you should be keeping a good record, once they've gathered that evidence, then the commission can make a determination that this is clearly discrimination and you guys need to change, or they'll pursue the hospital, or they'll say there's no cause found. There's no discrimination. They'll just say, here's your letter to sue and you can go do it on your own or with a lawyer.
So wait a minute. If the EEOC, which is federal, right?
Correct.
And then the state version of that, which you also used, is the NEOC. If
that's just for my, yeah. So I chose to go with the state because you can file with both for everyone. It's just quicker sometimes to get in through the state.
Which would be the NEOC, to be clear.
Yes, yes. But it's different for every state.
If one of these two places tells the hospital that they're in violation and the hospital doesn't listen, they can either take legal action or they can tell you take legal action?
Correct. So the cool thing is, because I had been praying and seeking knowledge through your guys' course, I was able to be a unique case to where they were still paying me to sue them. Usually people come to the commission, they're like me, and now I was at zero saying, I've been fired. I can't provide for my three kids. I'm stressed out. And then the commission, it can be a 6-month long process. And so you're so distraught and beat down that I don't even know if people continually pursue it. So they were kind of bewildered with how well my record was and how much that I knew at that point, the people at the commission.
All right. So for expediency, use the state version, the NEOC. The NEOC did what they do, and they found that your religious rights had been violated, and they then directed the hospital to knock it off.
And this is where it gets even more detailed of what people are going on in any legal concern. Yes, to answer that question, they told them to knock it off. And the hospital said, we've reevaluated it, and now you're exempt from it in perpetuity. But what's interesting that goes on, and I've seen over and over in all the law groups in every avenue, they do not want to give people a victory. So in my case, they weren't able to point blank say, for this defendant against his hospital, they lost due to discrimination. Instead, what they did through, I'm assuming through backdoor communication, is, hey, he's on the right here. You guys can't just make up your own policies and follow it as law. You go ahead and make him exempt. We'll tell him we can't find any discrimination here and everyone will be happy. So that was the outcome. So even though you get a victory, and that's what I'm seeing over and over, the court system right now is very wary of giving someone an outright, here's your document of victory, if that makes sense.
So did you lose anything? Was there damage done to you that you tried to demonstrate? And were there penalties for them of any kind other than having to back off?
Because it was mostly, it would have been like seeking emotional damages and stuff like that. There was no, I didn't lose any pay. There was no decrease in salary. There was nothing like that. So they couldn't go after money that way. So essentially they say you lose, but you get everything you want is what happened to me.
Were there any penalties levied against them other than having to bow down?
Yeah, they had to put paperwork in there that obviously people can have a religious accommodation request form.
Was the staff notified that there is now a recognized religious exemption?
Yes. But again, they, because it is tied to the bottom line of the hospital through contracts, this is definitely their hill to die on. And that's why I'm currently in my legal situation with the mask. Because if they don't have, what I've noticed with my peers and coworkers, if there's not a punishment to not receiving the flu shot, people wouldn't get it by at least half, at least half.
With your success and the notification that there are now recognized religious exemptions, which they never had the right to ignore in the first place, nor does anyone in the world have to ask permission about religious convictions. But the fact is, look what they did. They forced it. Do you know that others, significant numbers of other people have benefited from your success?
I mean, the opportunity is now there. So if you read the memo and you were interested in it, you would feel encouraged. Where when I read it and asked about it, it was, this doesn't exist and you're crazy.
Is there anything else that you think is important about the first legal issue before we move on to the second one that you succeeded at?
Just that if you're starting out, what I would advise and what I had to do was, I had no legal knowledge, but I was raised to know the Bible very well and knew moral right from wrong. And I knew the royal law of do unto others. And with my case, I knew that the real judge, if I was being persecuted like I was going to find a way. So even if you don't know for a fact legally, if you can stand on the Bible and God's word, you're going to be on the winning side regardless of what happens. And that's what I was prepared to do. That's what the story in Daniel of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the music played and everyone was supposed to bow, they knew that they're not bowing. And they knew that, what I love is the Bible says, they said, even if we do die, we do get punished, God's still right. And that's where I was. So I knew I wasn't losing anyway.
I can't tell you how many individuals that I personally know told me they took the shot, they didn't want the shot, but they had no choice. And I have said way too many times, you always had a choice. The only thing you have to do is breathe and eat and die. And then they said, you don't know the pressures that were brought to bear. And I said, I think I do know the pressures. And I can't tell you how many places I was kicked out of for simply refusing to breathe my own exhaust fumes. But the main point here is if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. And your mindset alone, I mean, would you agree with me that your mindset alone is what set your path?
Yeah, to me, it had to be a deep spiritual conviction. Otherwise, everyone's against you. But until it all plays out, like just today, I had a patient say, as we were intermingling, thank me for not getting the COVID shot. That's how bizarre the whole situation was. So people are so, it was such a obvious evil thing where they were trying to force something that should always be a choice. But that level of peer pressure, you better have a deep will and deep resolve to say no, because they're going to push every button they can.
Do you think it's safe to say that nearly 100% of the staff where you work was inoculated?
For the flu shot, not for the COVID shot.
Why not for the COVID shot?
Because right around when because I'm in a more conservative area, right around when they were getting ready to make it mandatory, and we all know how that word is, but that's when it broke in Missouri that they couldn't do this, and the hospital just had to simply offer it.
I'm going to ask a touchy question, and you're more than welcome to not respond to any question, of course. I just want to make that perfectly clear. Do you know of staff that lost their lives since all this happened?
I know of people working in this for almost 10 years that I've directly worked with the flu shot and COVID that have had life-changing events. Yes.
Let me guess. Clots, strokes, and heart attacks.
Too many to count.
I know 15 people that are no longer with us, and they have the common denominator of having been pressured into or taken the COVID shot.
The COVID was far more severe, but even in the hospital's policy for the flu shot, they say like it's an expected thing. They admit that Guillain-Barré, which again is a terrible neurological disease that starts from your fingers and feet and works up to your body, paralyzing you, is a known thing to be a side effect of the flu shot. I've worked with people who've had that.
So before we move on to the second issue, I want to plain as day ask you, if someone out there listening is facing what you faced, is there a manageable way to deal with that issue?
If you're in a similar situation where you're at a big corporation, you have tremendous power. If you go through and email whoever you're emailing that you are making a religious accommodation request to not receive whatever they're doing, and you can state the reasons that you would object to it, then they're required by law to prove, if they're going to deny it, that it causes their company substantial harm if they accommodated you. So all it would take is really emailing your supervisor, your CEO, of your request and documenting that. and they're required to accommodate you or prove to you that your request would be so damaging to their bottom dollar that they can't do it.
Which I should point out, the way this whole thing was crafted, when it first began to break, what you just said was not on the table. Even though it was on the table, it was being ignored. And I noticed you referenced another state. So clearly someone stood up somewhere else to make it get recognized again. Would you agree with that?
Correct. So they can't, again, if it is on, and there was just an awesome Supreme Court case where they changed it from the company just has to prove the bare minimum harm, so they could come up with something small that would affect their business, into now it has to be a substantial direct threat. And that's what I'm using for the mask. They can't prove that me walking around as a healthy individual without a flu shot causes them a substantial direct threat to their bottom line.
Well, I'm telling you flat out, when that whole mask thing wraps up, I'm hoping you'll come back.
Yes.
All right. We're on to the second legal issue that you initiated and won. What was that?
I had put in just for a general pay increase to my supervisor. This was maybe a year after everything had settled. And what I got back was a response from the hospital lawyer who me and him have had. I had bar grieved him over the flu shot, but he had a really unprofessional response to me and had lied about my communication and turned my request for a pay increase that I was demanding it and that I was not entitled to this.
Did you keep copies of your communication?
Yes, that's something that I always emailed and copied off every email. I never did any meeting where I was speaking. I learned that you just have, everything has to be in writing or it doesn't exist.
Let me make a point here real quick before you go on. So many times people working for corporations have come into work one day and they no longer have access to their email. If you are in a position where you are communicating with people about such matters, you need to BCC your private personal email account off the corporation server. Everything.
Correct. That's what I was doing. I would print out all my emails and send it to myself, have a hard copy, and it in my personal email. Because, I mean, that is your whole case, is what you have written down.
And they know it, and they can lock a server or accidentally lose all the emails with the push of a button.
Yeah.
And they have done that to people. So that's not something that we're just theorizing about.
And what's cool about that as well is when you're doing it in writing, they have to respond. And a lot of times, because they're not thinking what you're thinking, you can set up questions that potentially get them in trouble and they're answering it.
So to catch us up, after the whole shot thing was going down, you had to interact with an attorney or a lawyer, maybe I should say, who was the guy who ended up being in the loop when you requested the pay raise you had been denied. You had bar grieved him more than once, so clearly he had an attitude with you, and that's who you had to interact with when you requested the raise. Was the raise a matter of rote? Did you know that you had it coming? Did they skip it on purpose? What was up with the raise?
I had just worked for so many years, and in typical surrounding, like I have friends and people in different systems, and it wasn't the norm for the scale increase. So I had just put an inquiry, not even expecting anything, just to my supervisor, of course, in writing. And I didn't get anything back from my supervisor. Instead, I got the general counsel of the hospital, which everyone has, and they handle that stuff. And he's the one who misrepresented my claim or just my request. And right when I got that, I knew to start a retaliation complaint and start round two of that process of saying, I don't know if I'm getting the same amount of pay as someone similarly situated, but how I'm getting treated is not right.
Sounds like two bar grieves wasn't enough to teach him a lesson.
No. And another thing, that's what I think, because it's such a protected class, like the lawyers, once you do that one time, I think they know that, like, they send you, this guy's out to get the lawyer and they're in the club and we're not. So it definitely has merit to doing it, but I don't know how much a repeated thing does.
All right. So what comes next? They received your request. It goes to the attorney who's already got an issue with you, doesn't like you. Maybe that's a fairer way to put it. And he says, you don't get to demand raises and misrepresent your request as a demand.
Correct. And so once I filed the same thing through the systems and I had that and had the paperwork, the commission comes in because that's right along their thing, is they're looking at all that discrimination. And once again, it was the same scenario. You lose. There is no discrimination. But instead of giving you, I was asking, they ended up giving me within the year $7 over what I was asking. And not only me, but the whole hospital got a 10% raise after I lost and there was no discrimination and their pay scale was honest.
So did you get your raise as everyone else got it?
What I was, right. So they ended up showing me all the people around me were similarly situated. But again, I think that there was obviously something going on to where not even a year passed and I had gotten a bigger raise than I had been there for many years, $7 over what I was asking my increase to be.
Unbelievable.
And the whole hospital got a huge 10% raise across the board.
Unbelievable. I think it's safe to assume that there was some, we'll just call it penny pinching, going on to the detriment of the staff.
I don't think it's coincidence anymore after the pattern is always you lose, but you get everything you want and more.
So do you feel like standing up for the raise was a win? What was the actual outcome? Is the actual outcome that you referenced the pay raise that came later, or was there some outcome before that that you took as a success?
I think the outcome is having the ability and the options to respond to, like when a hospital lawyer says, like this stuff that could be jarring to the average individual, where you have options. I went to that, I had no stress, where I could say, this just doesn't feel right. I'm not the judge. I don't know for sure, but I had a process that I could use that ended up getting me more money than I had even requested and helping my family out and what I think is the rest of the hospital.
You want to get anything in here, Jason? I've kind of been bogarting.
Well, the only thing I'm thinking of with this part of it is that they were doing other things, and just to kind of quiet the waters, let's do a blanket increase here and we'll see how that goes.
That's what I'm thinking, because they don't want to directly give the little guy, wow, you can go through. I'll say it this way. If everyone took Dr. Graves' course and followed the law to the letter, especially against big corporations, and went in there knowing their rules of civil procedure and had a good complaint and knew how to get discovery and get to the end of trial, that's what the concern is for all these people, because they're acting in bad faith. That's what I have found out over and over and over. It is bad faith and darkness there. So they do not want people following those procedures that could give them power.
Well, let's be real. A lot of these companies, and I'm not making any specific accusations, just speaking generally, but a lot of these companies, when there's millions and millions of dollars at stake, they've probably gotten away with whatever the hell they've wanted for a very long time with no pushback.
It's been proven, because they laughed at the state statute that said point blank in black and white, the only thing they're required to do is offer it to all hospitals. And then it gets even funnier where it says point blank, every employee is required to have all these vaccinations, except if they elect not to. So all you have to say is, I don't want it.
Yeah, that's bad faith. That sentence was removed up front, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. They don't want, we're so dumbed down. I am included with all that. I was guilty through that. Where all I had to do in that panic was simply read my state statute. And I did give it to them. I did read it at the time. But they treated it as like, that's a meaningless, what, we follow state statute?
You know, the queue up for everything that's happened, I don't think most people realize that we were allowed to be fat, dumb, and happy and get to maybe the apex in the world of materialism. I mean, maybe there's other places like Dubai, or I don't know. But what I do know is when they start whipping out the ironclad handcuffs at the drop of a hat, and everybody has been used to the way America was leading up to all this, I think Michael Hoffman sums it up best. He refers to it as being initiated into the alchemical crucible. And the reason I think that's the best description is because everyone's heard that alchemy is turning lead into gold. Well, in fact, from my point of view, it can be done. You can physically turn lead into gold. It is very rare. There are apparently people have done it, but it's actually a metaphor for a spiritual procedure of turning a base human being into, for lack of better terms, a godly or a heavenly or a enlightened human being. And the reason I'm drawing this parallel back to Michael Hoffman is because when you're initiated into the alchemical crucible, it statistically has an outcome. In the same way, if I could talk to Fortune in his laboratory, he would tell me, when I mix this with this, heat it to this temperature, do these things, this is the outcome that I expect, this is the outcome I will get. That's what was done to us in preparation for the things we're talking about. Do you have anything else to add about the raise? Before the raise was issued to everybody, what was their last response to you on the matter?
Oh, they send out that the commission looked at, you know, everyone that's similarly situated, and there's no discrimination that they could find. They're not going to pursue it. They give you your letter to sue. And me knowing that there was more to that, I let it go. And shortly thereafter, that's when I get more of a raise than I was even asking for, and the whole hospital with it. So
I got to ask another question here, going back to the shot that you opted out of. How do they treat you there? How do your co-workers treat you? How do your managers or supervisors treat you? How does the corporation and administration treat you?
Before I went through all this and had to deal with it, I get treated with a lot of respect, and not every coworker, like everyone has different views, but they respect that I didn't have any of that and that I have options. I get treated with the utmost professionalism that I that I see around. Everyone is very careful.
Have any of your peers or coworkers thanked you for the door that you kicked back open?
Yes. And they say that, but it is a pressure. Like you've had people, they say that, where I had a supervisor tell me during the height when the COVID thing was at its max that because for his position and his salary, because of the pressure there, he didn't feel like getting his three teenage sons that shot. It didn't feel right with him. But because of the pressure, he wanted to be a good example in the community. He did. And this was a man that was telling me how proud he was of what I did. So that was a very disconcerting and sad meeting that I've ever had in my life, where he told me pretty much he was going against his whole value and sacrificing his son's health, potentially.
Did the children get harmed?
I'm not sure. He ended up leaving and is somewhere else now. But that was the level of pressure where people who were getting paid high job, like that's the other interesting part, you know, the CEO, the hospital lawyer, they're going along with this stuff. So for them, they consider me lesser than them. So why should he be able to do that? There was a lot of that energy. Something that was important for me through all this was to stay humble and make sure that I'm connecting to the man or woman that I'm requesting with this, whatever I was requesting. I said that at the beginning of every meeting, is that I wasn't out to get anyone. And that, again, that was not well received either.
How big a part do you feel like, I'm going to use a word that I'm not thrilled with, but people know what I mean. How big a role did your faith play in what's gone on here?
It was the main factor. Because again, I knew either way, to go back to that example in Daniel, either way, God's right. Either way, I've searched it. I know that this is the right way, and they can lie. They can do everything. There's nothing they could have done that would have changed my mind. So I knew I had already won.
Some of the people I respect most in the world have repeatedly said that when all this happened, the church failed everybody, and that these individuals no longer considered the church as valid because of what was done. Doors shut, rights ignored.
And that's where I would have to interject and just say, then they're misunderstanding what the church is, because the church to me is the people. And so what every person, what every Christian was doing, that's the real church, not the building.
Right. Do you have anything else to add in this vein before we push forward here? Actually, maybe I'll just stop for a second and let's just recap. I'm told monkeypox is coming. If there ends up being another situation in the world where people are being pressured into taking medical things that they don't want, can you just briefly, simply outline how to deal with it? Where do you start? Where do you end?
The real way is you have to understand the process that the people, the oppressors, are using. So regardless, if you want to use the straw man, the liability stuff, it may be true, but they're not under those rules. And they're going to make that point blank. So you have to figure out what rules they're supposed to be playing by. And to me, that's where I have found success. It doesn't mean that there's not, like you said before, different ways to handle situations. But I think big corporations, grocery stores, they are following statutes and laws. They have to. And so knowing Dr. Graves' course, knowing basic legal ideas could really be a huge defense for your right.
You did that in a weekend. Did it take you more than a weekend to get through the course?
It took a weekend to get through the course, but it took 4 years to get to where now the course is in me, if that makes sense. I can speak it. I can understand the process that I'm going through. I was at zero. So I put all my faith, besides what I had said from the spiritual side, into a piece of paper. I went and had my status changed in the county court where I was at. Like, I was looking for and praying for wisdom. And eventually for my problem, it was the Dr. Graves course, knowing how to potentially use a lawsuit and even getting a lawyer potentially and keeping them on track. Because that's another thing we're seeing in Alphonse's group, people who are using the right procedure, if it's not coming from a lawyer, they're using dirty tactics, and they're the ones that are the sovereign citizens, not us.
So is it safe to say that you intended to use the currently implemented legal system of this country, and Dr. Graves taught you how to walk the walk in a weekend, yet it took you some years to actually walk the walk and gain experience?
Yes, in a weekend, you will understand the procedures they should follow. Now, they're all going to not want to follow it. I mean, that's why it's a legal thing. Everyone will look at you. Like when I went, if I went to my employees, if I went to family, most people are going to say, you're crazy. It doesn't exist. You're nuts. I did have that in my personal. That's where a lot of respect was gained. People did see the outcome of, oh, you're just going to get fired. Like that same supervisor saying, no, you'll be fired. I did it last year to a nurse.
If you had it to do over again, would you issue an affidavit and an NOL at the outset?
If I knew now what I know, I don't think it has the relevance there.
What about if there was legal action that you don't know about later?
I think the word liability uses them, like, really got a hospital and a corporation concerned, because that's what they lose money on, what they're liable for if they do something wrong here. So using, so the notice liability, and then if you added different things to it, will get a big corporation's attention. I will say that.
Well, I will point out one thing, though. The affidavit, if it goes unrebutted, it's fact. And while I guess I get exactly what you're saying, you know, you might not need to do it, I would guess that that would be a good thing to do, because it puts the cards on the table. And again, if they don't rebut it, and years from now, some other legal thing happens, you still have that affidavit.
And here's where I would push back, because they'll, if you took that, let's say I took my affidavit that they never rebutted, and I went into a court scenario and said, okay, I'm going after religious discrimination. Here's my evidence. I have this unrebutted affidavit, so I'm right. Give me my, they're not going to recognize it.
Okay. I think it also puts your intention on the table, you know, as a record with a date on the affidavit. So in your view, what would be the first step? First, you're going to notify them in writing, of course, right?
Yes. And another thing that I will say an affidavit does do, because you're getting it notarized, it shows that you're taking it very serious.
Good point.
So people, that's all I wanted, is to be as professional. What works? I'm not out to harm the company that's providing benefits to my life and community members, but I also don't want them making choices for me. So having it in a corporate thing where here's a notarized affidavit that I'm willing, like, to face penalties of perjury. I'm not joking with this.
So at the outset, you're going to send a communication to the employer that says, I'm not doing this for religious reasons. When you get their response back, if they say you don't have any right to do this or we don't care what you say, then immediately in your case, you would contact the state version of the EEOC, which is the NEOC, because you feel like they're quicker. And at that point, there's another place working for you on their dime. And you would keep copies of every email doing exactly what we said. If you send any email or receive it, you immediately BCC it and print a copy out to your outside of the work server email address, and you keep a hard copy. And I would add, it's pretty important that you're never rude too, right? That you're always
it's huge.
Impeccably. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes. They're looking to get you rattled, and they've already framed it. You're an anti-vaxxer. They have all the society things on you. So to come in and be polite and wish, that was a big part of, and also keeping myself in check to not get angry or wrathful or get to where I'm making judgments, to know that we're all just men and women and I'm not actively trying to harm anyone else. I just want to my rights left alone.
All right, I'm getting ready to wrap up hour one. Can you point people in any direction? It sounds like you're in legal groups. Do you feel like some of those groups helped you out?
Yes. Yeah, so I think getting the jurisdictionary course is a foundation. It doesn't matter what avenue in our current society, there's going to be situations where you'll get benefit just by knowing that information. So that's a great place to start. And then Alphonse's Telegram group, Rose has set people up through the dictionary course group and the Big Sibs group as well. He's been on your show.
Another brilliant guy. All right. So I'm going to wrap up hour one. And actually, I was going to ask you, but we're in hour one, if you're available for contact. But I think I'm going to save that for hour two so you don't get overwhelmed. Is there anything else you want to mention before I wrap up hour one, Agent F?
I would just say, because this is awesome for people, if you're going to use the medical system in the United States, you have to understand you are responsible for the outcomes. Do not put your faith in the doctor. Use it as a service where if you have a desired outcome, research it and go get it. That is your responsibility. If you're putting your faith in medical professionals, you have to hope that they're altruistic and really have you in like at the center. But right now, a lot of insurance is running it. So unless you know exactly what you want and you're telling people, you may be disappointed.
That's a good point. And I actually know firsthand in this world, doctors who, because of what happened in 2020 and the following couple of years, no longer want to be doctors. Have you ever heard of anyone going through that much school, that much debt, and then saying, I can't take this. I don't want to be a doctor anymore. I know two of them. And they weren't just regular doctors either. They were specialized. It's crazy. And by the way, I'm a bit of a space ace. I'm not going to ask you for contact when we're using your name anonymously. But with that, I'm going to wrap up hour one of 597. We're going to take a short break. And there's a lot more to come in the second hour. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode. Members get access to all the comments sections, all the forums, all the threads. They can make all those things. They can stream the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon anytime they want, which covers all my back telescope work to include the lunar waves and the initial discovery of the second sun, which, by the way, may have been filmed this morning. And they get exclusive access to my current solar telescope work. I just put up the 8th member solar video, and it's completely animated, and it shows how hard this is and the trail that I took, and culminates in a just gorgeous double looping prominence that was collected over 3 hours, actually 3 hours and 15 minutes, I think. Anyhow, we're going to take a short break, and I hope to see you all logged in as members when we get back. And I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
Come on. belief is the enemy of knowing.